Today is August 27, 2016, and you've joined us for the weekly service of the Pineville Weatherby House Church. And before we start, I've got a number of announcements. Getting more like the brick and mortar churches, I'll tell you, though. But I do have some announcements for anybody that's interested. Starting tomorrow and every week thereafter until such time as we either the Lord leaves otherwise, or we die, or we finish with this book, I've agreed to join Mr. Brother Walt Stickle on this program, Hour of Discernment, and we're going to be covering a book by Edward Hendry entitled The Anti-Gospel, The Perversion of Christ's Grace Gospel. Now, I really think this is a good book, and I know that some that will listen to this that will get all kind of allegations against us that we've gone down rabbit trails and everything else, but you know, there's nothing wrong with the history of Christ. And you know, I'm going to just do a quick summation of what is covered in this book in the table of contents. Of course, we have the introduction, but chapter 1 is Paul warns about the anti-gospel. Number 2, the satanic conspiracy. Number 3, the 5 points of Arminianism. Now, that's nothing more than an antithesis to the 5 points of biblical doctrine. Chapter 4, of course, is the Jesuit oath. Chapter 5 is, he entitles, Preventing Grace. And number 6 is the gospel. Number 7 is Dead in Trespass and Sin. 8 is Chosen Before the Foundation of the World. 9 is a real interesting chapter. That 99% of people who say they're Christians are in total opposition to. And chapter 9 is entitled, Ordained by God to Believe Not. Ordained by God to Believe Not. Chapter 10, Not Willing That Any Should Perish. Chapter 11, Salvation Hath Appeared to All Men. And of course he does, in both of those chapters, dispels how those passages are taken out of context. 12, Born Not of the Will of Man. So he takes on the free will false doctrine. 13, The Falling Away. 14, How Often Would I Have Gathered Thy Children. And 15, Ye Do Always Resist the Holy Ghost. And then he goes into chapter 16, There Are Only Two Types of Religions in the World. And the command to preach the true gospel in chapter 17. 18, No Flesh Should Glory in His Presence. 19, Does the Sovereign Holy God Create Evil? 20, He That Was Dead Came Forth. 21, The Judas Gospel. 22, John 3:16. 23, The Propitiation for the Sins of the Whole World. 24, Denying the Lord That Bought Them. 25, Free Will Repentance is Salvation by Works. 26 is stripping the sheep's clothing of John Wesley. 27, Reward for Works. 28, Calvary Chapel. 29, Christian Rock and Roll. 30, The Hidden Hand of Illuminati. 31, Arminian Counterfeit Bibles. 32, The Devil's Advocates. 33, Phony Arminian Evangelism. 34, Evangelicals and Catholics Together. 35, Catholic Necromancy. 36, Catholic Goddess Worship. 37, Catholic Idolatry. 38, The Gift of Salvation Manifesto. 39, Modern Day Pharisees. 40, The Catholic Sacraments. 41, The Eucharist. 42, A Different Jesus. 43, Baptismal Regeneration. 44, Salvation by Works. 45, Priest Claims for Power to Forgive Sin. And 46, The Profitable Myth of Purgatory. 47, indulgences. 48, light can have no fellowship with darkness. And the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth, chapter 49. And, of course, the end notes. And that's almost 600 pages of material, including the end notes, about 529 pages of actual meat that we're going to be discussing over the next few weeks. So we're going to be doing that, and if we did send out announcements to most people in my email that I thought might have an interest. If you have an interest in being invited to this broadcast to listen online, if you'll send me an email, my email is posted on Sermon Audio. If you'll send me an email, I'll make sure that you get the weekly announcement and the link to get that broadcast. Now, I'm also co-hosting a broadcast with Michael Adams on Nothing But the Truth. Before I go to there, though, the Sunday broadcast, I'm going to put the phone number on there to jump onto this broadcast, is 724-444-7444. And for the hour of discernment, the code is 137298. 137298, and you can just put in, you can sign as a guest, in as a guest, and just put one in the pound sign. Now, Nothing But the Truth is the same phone number, 724-444-7444, and the code number for Nothing But the Truth is 135399, and then you can put in one in the pound sign. Now, of course, you know I have a talk show program, and we're planning on doing a broadcast on Wednesday night with Brother Richard McCrory and Brother Jerry Maurer, and it's going to be entitled Love of God or the Lack of It. Love of God or the Lack of It. And again, that code number is 140414. And again, the phone number is 724-444-7444. And you can sign as a guest as £1. So hopefully you've got the three programs or broadcasts we're on. Again, the first one is this Sunday, an hour of discernment, with Brother Walt Stickle being the host and myself being the co-host. The second program is Nothing But the Truth, Mike Adams. And then the third program is, I call it the Predestination and Election Call, with the topic being this week coming up, the Love of God and the Lack of It, with Brother Jerry Maurer and Brother Richard McCrory. Okay, we're going to now, I will say that we are getting ready to go to the Joplin tomorrow to be with the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church there, and we're looking forward to fellowship there with the brethren, and we look forward to visiting with Brother Michael Smith and his family, and having a good time in fellowship there. Brother Michael Smith said in the next few weeks he's going to be doing a series of sermons on the church, and I don't know if he will forward those over for posting on Sermon Audio. By the way, these broadcasts that I mentioned, Our Discernment and Nothing But the Truth, and the other broadcasts that I'm doing, will be posted on Sermon Audio as well. Okay, the first song we're going to sing is Taken Out the Psalter. It's been requested. Page 34, Psalm 25. And I'm going to ask Mark if he'll start that for us.
To thee I lift my soul, Lord. Lord, I trust in thee. My God, let me not be ashamed, nor foes exalt me. Yea, none that wait on thee shall be ashamed at all, but those that transgressly transgress upon thee shame shall fall. Show me thy way, O Lord, thy paths so teach thou me, and do thou lead me in thy truth, therein my teacher be. For thou art God that dost to me salvation send, and I upon thee all living expecting do attend. Thy tender mercies, Lord, to mine do thou recall, and loving kindness henceforth they have been through ages all. My sins and youth, my faults, do thou, Lord, forget. In loving kindness think on me, and for thy goodness pray.
Okay, the last song we're going to sing before we move over to the other part of our service is 508, Open My Eyes That I May See. If God doesn't open our eyes and open our ears and quicken us, we are still yet dead in our trespasses and sin. But when He does open our eyes, when He does open our ears, when He does breathe in the Holy Spirit into us with quickening power, we now can see and hear the truth of the gospel.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, I will to see. Open my eyes, illumine thee. Spirit divine, open my ears that I may hear voices of truth ascend this way. And while the waves fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine, open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine.
Well, there's a song, if I can find it here. It's called Lead Thou Me. I thought we would sing that before we go over to the other part of the service. It's called Lead Thou Me. Let's see if I can find it here. Lead Thou Me. Maybe I won't read it. I don't know. Anyway.
317.
What is it?
317.
317. 317. Okay. When the day of life is brightest, love the fondest, hope most free, and the steps of time are lightest, oh, my Father, lead thou me. Father, Father, wilt thou lead me? Oh, my Father, lead thou me. And the steps of time be brightest, oh, my Father, lead thou me. When the night of life is darkest, and my soul shall tempt to thee, when to sorrow's voice I listen, oh, my Father, lead thou me. Be life's pathway smooth or stony, let my face still cling to thee. Be life's future bright or stormy, oh, my Father, lead thou me. Father, Father, wilt thou lead me? Oh, my Father, lead thou me. And the steps of time be lightest, oh, my Father, lead thou me.
Dear Lord, we pray that you would be with us tonight, today, this afternoon, in this service. We pray that your word would be magnified, your name would be exalted, and that anything that was said would honor and glorify you. We pray, we ask this in Jesus' name for your glory alone. Amen. You know, I've been visiting with a number of the brethren this week. This with Brother Chris Derner, and I've visited with Brother Michael Adams, Brother Walt Stickle, Brother Jerry Maurer, and Brother Richard Crory, all of those brethren. And it's been a blessing to have the fellowship of those who believe the gospel. You know, it's hard to find people that you can have fellowship with in this day and age. And primarily because people, they say they are Christians, they say they believe the Word of God until you start talking to them. And have you ever had a conversation with someone and they say they believe in the absolute sovereignty of God, and then they set out to talk about how stressed out they are, and how worried they are, and how in despair they are, and on and on and on, and it kind of dispels what they said earlier about their believing in God's sovereign work for His people, doesn't it? When you hear these things, you know, now, of course, when we think of the word faith, it is inseparably connected to the word belief, isn't it? You know, if a person has been granted faith, they also have been granted belief. And you know, in Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, the 20th verse says, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. I think that adequately describes what we see in our society today. There are many people in this generation in whom is no faith. You know, Christ was faithful in all of his house. And Christ was told us in the 6th chapter of John that all that the Father hath given him will come to him. And he said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him. This is the work of God. And so when we think of faith, we must realize that faith is a gift of God. Faith is not something that you or I, or anyone else for that matter, can drum up of themselves. Like the health and wealth preachers try to purport that, you know, if you have, you know, the reason you don't have healing is because you don't have enough faith. And, you know, in Psalm 119, we are told, verse 90, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. Notice how there is a correlation between the faithfulness that is given to all generations and the fact that God has created and established the earth. And it's still there, isn't it? And, you know, we should be praying for the faithfulness of God to us, not our own faith. In the 143rd Psalm, David says, hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. We don't want our faith. We want the faithfulness of our God. And when we have the faithfulness of our God, we also have the faith of Christ. And we also have his imputed righteousness. His imputed righteousness. And so, this is something that, you know, even Habakkuk, book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. You know, and, you know, I tell you that if we are persons of little faith, it is because God has given us little faith. If we have been given great faith, it is because God has given us little faith. Notice in Matthew 8:26, he said unto the disciples, unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Christ had great faith. And Christ also imparted faith to those that brought him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. You know, Jesus, seeing their faith, said the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. You know, and so God is the one that gives us the faith to believe that he is almighty. He's the powerful one. He's the king of the universe, and he is the one who has granted unto us redemption. And you know, in the 15th chapter, remember the lady who had the daughter that came to Jesus, and Jesus answered her and said, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, there's a lot of lessons on faith in the Bible, and many people take them out of context. They try to make our faith contingent upon something that we do, or something that we do. But if we look in Ephesians, it says that by grace are ye saved through faith, not of works, it's a gift of God. And we need to always remember that both grace and faith I'm going to turn back to that passage so I read it verbatim. I don't want to get it wrong. But he says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, he says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship." Notice that. We are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. And so when people try to give people the idea that they are responsible for their own faith, you know, in Luke 17:5, the apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith. Increase our faith." We're told in Luke 18:8, he says, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Now we know that we know that the Arminian camp constantly tries to make man responsible for their own faith. But when we read Scripture, we find that it's not the case. The 12th chapter of Hebrews, the second verse says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and was set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, you know, this aspect of faith is an interesting thing. I think it's appropriate for us to examine ourselves, that we be in the faith, that we examine ourselves, that we make our calling and election sure. I think it's important that, notice in Romans 1:17, Paul says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, "The just shall live by faith." Quoting back from what we quoted earlier in Habakkuk. Now look and see what the Apostle Paul says back in Romans, the 3rd chapter, 22nd verse. It says, "The righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ." Just think of that. "The righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe." The righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. You know, there is a direct connection between faith and belief. And both of them, both of them come from God. You know, God's the one that has set this about. In verse 25, he says, "Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God." 27. "Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what? Law or works? Nay, but by the law of faith." There's no boasting in the faith that we have, because faith originates from God. So he goes on and says, at the 28th through the 31st verse, therefore we conclude that man is justified by faith, without the deeds of the law. And so, anyway, that's something that I think we need to be reminded of, you know. And people say, well, how can God count our faith for righteousness? Well, God can do anything he wants to do, and God's the one that gives us the faith to start with. You know, we know that Abraham's faith was reckoned to him for righteousness. You know, in fact, in Romans 4, the fifth chapter, it says, but him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Do you believe that God has justified you as an ungodly sinner? Do you believe that God has justified you as an ungodly sinner? Well, if you believe that, then that means that God has given you this faith, and the faith that God has given you to believe that he's justified you as an ungodly sinner is counted to you for righteousness. Now, he says in verse 14, if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. You know, there's a lot of people that want to go by the letter of the law. They want to put everybody under the law. And every time they do, their faith is made void. The promise is made of none effect. And so we see that we go back to the fifth chapter of Romans. Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, I'm reading in the first verse, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is the one that gave us the faith. God is the one that gave us the belief. And God is the one that justifies us. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And there's a lot of people that are seeking religion through other means other than faith. They're doing it through education, through religion, through all kinds of things. Idolatry. In Romans 9:32, it says they sought it not by faith. They sought it not by faith. They stumbled at the stumbling stone. You know, they stumbled at the stumbling stone. You know, and so, you know, we really understand that. Let's go back in first chapter, 1 Corinthians 2:5. 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know, so many people are so into, you know, the wisdom of this world. They think they can intellectualize it. God's the one that is over all of this. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, Paul says, God is faithful, by whom you were called under the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. But God's the one who's faithful. God is the one who is faithful. We're not faithful. We have nothing in ourselves to boast of. God did it all. And so you know, I think sometimes we forget where faith comes from. The origin of our faith. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And in Galatians 3:11 it says, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. The man that doeth them shall live in them. Okay? But the scripture, I'm reading in verse 22 of Galatians 3, but the scripture included all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ, might be given to them that believe. And so, you know, God's the one that gives us this great gift of faith to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. And how many messages have you heard about this? That faith is something that just comes to us. In Galatians 3:25, he says, after that faith is come, we are no longer under schoolmaster. He doesn't say after you drum up enough faith. No, after the faith is come. There's another scripture that talks about obtaining like precious faith. We obtained it. You know. He says in Galatians 3:26, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And so, you know, I think we must constantly remember that from by grace are you saved through faith, but not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. You know, and also we must remember that there's one Lord, there's one faith, and one baptism. You know, one of these days we're all going to come to unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and the perfect man and the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. When it talks about taking the shield of faith, whereby we will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, you know, realizing that shield of faith has been given to us. Given to us. The faith of Jesus Christ. The faith of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, we can bank upon the fact that once faith has been given to one of God's elect, it's never taken back. You know, God is not an Indian giver. God grants someone faith. He will cause them to persevere in their faith. All the perseverance of the saints. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 8 says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. Okay, your faith to Godward is spread abroad. You know, now what is... So I'm going to take a little break here because I'm being interrupted. Okay, so... let us remember these things and realizing that God is faithful and He's going to keep that which He promised. And you know, people often think that their salvation is, you know, based on something other than the faith and faith in Christ. Something other than what He's accomplished at the cross when He says it is finished, you know. And anyway, this is something that we have to, you know, in 2 Timothy 2:13 it says, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself, you know. And so, you know, that is a reprobate. A reprobate is, in fact, he says, 2 Timothy 3:8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Okay? That is a reprobate. Those who are without the faith of Christ. You know, in 2 Timothy 3:15, he says, speaking to Timothy,
Paul,
and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Notice what he says in Titus. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Notice he says in the fourth verse, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God, and from the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. All of these things are from God. And so, how many scriptures do we have to affirm the reality that we don't drum up our own faith? It's all from God. The just doesn't live by the faith of himself. If I had to live by my own faith, I would be damned. Because my faith is, I have no faith. In Hebrews, the second verse says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto him, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So, you know, it's amazing. He says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You know, you know, and then you go into the faith chapter. How do you think all of these people had faith? You know, it says these all died in faith, having not received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And who's it speaking of? Who's it speaking of? It's speaking of Abel and Enoch and Noah and all the other lists of the Rahab and so on. You think that through a person's own abilities to muster up faith, they could subdue kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtain promises, and stop the mouths of lions? No. After going through all these people that had faith in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, is when he concludes that by saying, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What he says. Why do you think that he does that in that chronology? To emphasize the reality that it's not our faith, it's the faith of Jesus Christ. He's the author of it. He's the finisher of it. And I think sometimes, that we have to, we have to be reminded that God is all in all. He is not. It's not just, you're not just the cooperative agent with God. I mean, look at what he says in 1 John 5:4. He says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Even our faith is the fact that we're born of God. Even our faith points back to the rebirth. The Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. And I wanted to just touch on that tonight. Hopefully that will be a blessing to those to hear it.
and I was thinking about, does anybody maybe have a final selection for us?
There's second song.
I think we've already sang that.
I think it is the second song.
How about 182? Do we, can we remember the tune of that song? 182. Do you know that one, Mark? 182. Faith is the brightest evidence. I'll read this while Mark's looking at it. Faith is the brightest evidence of things beyond our sight. It pierces through the veil of sense and dwells in heavenly light. It sets time's past and present view, brings distant prospects home of things a thousand years ago or a thousand years to come. By faith we know the worlds were made by God's almighty word. Abram to unknown countries led by faith obeyed the Lord. He sought a city fair and high built by the eternal hands, and faith assures us, though we die, that heavenly building stands.
No, I don't know the tune.
Go ahead.
I don't know the tune.
Our side, it pierces through the veil of sense and dwells in heaven. It sets time past and present view, brings distant prospects home of things a thousand years ago or a thousand years to come. By faith we know the worlds were made by God's almighty word. Abram to unknown countries led by faith obeyed the Lord. He saw the city fair and high, built by the eternal hands. And faith assures us, though we die, that heavenly building stands.